Morning. It's a warm one, isn't it? So we'll keep it a bit shorter this morning, okay? So you don't all perspire on me. Can you turn back to Matthew 13? If you're visiting today, what we've been doing over Easter Sunday mornings is we have been looking at the amazing grace of God. And these last couple of Sundays, this morning and next Sunday morning, we're wrapping up this series. And we're taking a look at what it actually means to do grace as we kind of rub shoulders with people during the course of the week and live in our families and live amongst our friends and our relations. So Matthew chapter 13, very helpful story which Jesus has told, which we're going to look at together this morning. So if you've got it open in front of you, that's going to be extremely helpful. So look at Matthew 13, okay? Don't mind the windows being opened. Let's get into God's word this morning. And one of the things that we've discovered about grace is this, and we've been reminded, haven't we, at communion this morning, that every one of us in this room this morning is in need of the grace and mercy of God. The grace of God is a great leveler. And there isn't one person in this room this morning who isn't in need of God's grace and mercy. And the amazing thing is, as we've been celebrating already this morning, is that God, through Christ, has extended his grace and extended his mercy so that sinful people, broken people like you and me, can be wrapped in God's arms and accepted into his family. It's a gift. You don't earn it. But with amazing gifts come some great responsibilities. And one of the things that we're going to look at this morning and next Sunday morning is how do we extend this same grace that we've received? How do we extend that into the lives of other people? How do we dispense grace? How does it work out in everyday life? Philip Yancey says in his book, he says, it's one thing to talk about grace, but it's another thing to taste its power. It's very easy to talk about grace. It's very easy to sing about it. It's easy to talk about it in our conversations to each other. But how do we taste its power? And perhaps more importantly, how do people around us taste the grace and the mercy which God has extended to us? Is grace something that people would automatically associate with your life? I'm doing another funeral tomorrow, Len Erica's funeral. And at funerals, people summarize people's lives, don't they? If your life was being summarized tomorrow, if that was your Thanksgiving service, is grace one of those words that would be used to describe you? You see, when the world gets a taste of grace and mercy up close, if you want to put it like that, people sit up and take notice. And we've referred to this incredible example of Gordon Wilson, whose daughter was murdered by the IRA in one of the horrendous explosions on Remembrance Day. And this is what he said. It's a Christian. He said, I've lost my daughter, but I bear no grudge. I shall pray tonight and every night that God will forgive them. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? That's what grace looks like when it's extended to people around us. So let's take our Bibles this morning and come back to this story which we've just read under this title this morning of dispensing God's grace. How do we do it? And Jesus begins by introducing us to this very simple agricultural story. Now I know that we live in suburbia, okay? We're not that far from the fields, are we? Particularly this time of year, if you take a walk into the fields, you will see that as the crops begin to mature, that you will often see weeds kind of peppered around the fields as they grow. And that's the kind of image which Jesus is talking about. Look at verse 37 as Jesus explains this parable, this story which he's just told. He makes it very explicit. He says, so I want you to understand that this field which I'm talking about in my story is a picture of the world in which you live. And Jesus talks about weeds and talks about wheat, which are all growing together. And if you look into chapter 13 and if you look at verse 29... you'll see that there's this question which is raised where the servants come to Jesus and they say, well, do you want us to pull up these weeds that are growing? And Jesus says, no, I want you to allow them to grow. Verse 30, let them both grow together until the harvest time. Now, Jesus is painting a picture of the reality of the world in which we live. The good, the bad and the ugly. The weeds and the wheat growing alongside together. This is a very powerful description of the world in which we live. Look at what's happened in the past week. Look at the evil that lies behind so many of the actions which are at top news stories at the moment. That's the world in which we live. It is a world which is mixed with wheat and weeds. As Jesus describes, those who follow him are described as the wheat in this story. Those who have rejected Jesus are described as the weeds. But Jesus says, no, let them grow together until the end of time. And so Jesus tells this very powerful little story to help us to understand how we do grace, how we extend grace to people around us, how we extend grace in our conversations in response to the horrendous situations which are going on in our world today. One of you spotted the challenge that's implicit in this story. The challenge to dispense grace into a world which seems to be moving further and further away from God. You will remember a few weeks, a few months ago, there was that big debate going on, wasn't there? Are we still a Christian country or not? Some great discussion and debate came out of that, wasn't there? But one thing is not in doubt, that in this country that we have a very rich Christian heritage. And there is the temptation, because we had such a rich Christian heritage, that we want to turn the clock back and we say, well, let's get back to where we used to be. Let's see if we can pull up a few weeds around us. And I find the real challenge of this story, because Jesus says no. He says in this story, let the wheat and the weeds grow together to the harvest, because that's how my kingdom grows. I like the way Philip Yancey describes the world in which we live. Well, I don't like the description, but it's an accurate description, I think. He says every year, he says, the church is drawing closer to the New Testament church, an embattled minority, living in a pluralistic and pagan society. What you read in the New Testament is much closer than perhaps how things were in this country 100 years ago, 200 years ago. And Yancey goes on to put it like this. I find this encouraging. He says, for people who feel obliged to clean up all the evil in the world, I've got a word of encouragement for you. He says, it's not your job. Not even Jesus attempted to do that. So maybe we can just relax just a little this morning as we hear what Jesus has to say to us in this story. We all know, don't we, how easy it is to complain about our society than it is to show grace. How easy it is to criticize, how easy it is to condemn, how easy it is to speak of those who fundamentally disagree with us. It's much more difficult to tear down and to criticize than it is to show grace. And that, I think, is part of the challenge behind this story which Jesus tells us. So let's see how this story can help us to dispense grace. Let's have a look at it together, Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to just touch on some things that are in this story. Check these verses out as we go through, because there's some really helpful advice in this little story about how we do it, how we do grace with the people that you and I rub shoulders with in this coming week, how you respond to some of the stories that are in the news at the moment as a follower of Jesus. This is the first thing I want you to notice. Implicit in this story, grace points us to the patience of God. Can't miss that, can you, in this story? If you look at verses 28 and 29, an enemy's done this in the story. This is this, the seeds have been, the weeds have been sown amongst the wheat. And the servants come and they say to their master, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow into the harvest. Why don't you get hold of this morning? Grace points us to the patience of God. The farmer in this story waits alongside his workers in frustration as the weeds are growing alongside the wheat, because that's what the kingdom of God looks like, says Jesus. That's how this story starts, isn't it? Verse 24, then Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven and what it looks like. He says that's how it grows. Grace points us to the patience of God. And you'll know, if you know anything about world history, how people from time to time have tried to bring in the kingdom of God by force. It doesn't work. Think back to the Crusades and the thousands and thousands of people who were killed because people were being forced to convert to Christian faith. If you know anything about the story around the Reformation, you will know that Calvin attempted to create a Christian state in Geneva following the Reformation, where the church attempted to set all rules for all of society. And it became nothing short of a fundamentalist state, where people were questioned and summoned about any matters of faith. It became a dictatorship. And if you look in Islam at the moment and the rise of ISIS, and what's happening there? They're trying to bring in a particular way of living and thinking within a state, and they're trying to do it by force. That's why Christians are being forced out of Mosul at the moment. You convert or else. cannot bring in the kingdom of God by force. The heart of this parable that we're looking at this morning is a note of patience. Not just the patience of the servants who have to wait, but the patience of God himself. Grace points us to the patience of God. We have an incredibly patient God. Peter refers to it, doesn't he, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some of you might think. But one of the reasons that he's slow, one of the reasons that he's patient with you, he says he wants everyone to come to repentance. The grace of God in this story points us to the patience of God. But the second thing I want you to notice in this parable is that grace keeps us focused on the kingdom of God. Look at verse 30. Here's Jesus in this story saying, no, he says, let the wheat and the weeds grow together until the harvest time. It's very interesting, isn't it, to observe Jesus in action throughout the Gospels. His constant attention on the lives of individual people. Crossing boundaries. Crossing cultures. Finding himself in situations that people would have thought very disapproving as he speaks to a Samaritan woman at the well and selects her as the first missionary. As he appoints Matthew, a despised tax collector, one of his close disciples. Jesus, who spent time with people who were excluded and marginalized. Jesus, who mixed with people who knew that they hadn't got it all together. Because Jesus focused on the kingdom of God. Jesus warns us in this story against pulling up the weeds, because in the process we may destroy the wheat along with the weeds. Matters of judgment, as we'll see in a moment, are best left to God. The disciples of Jesus back in the first century faced some incredibly difficult moral and social challenges. Slavery, idolatry, violent games, political oppression, greed, and some incredibly perverse forms of sexual immorality. Things that the disciples of Jesus would have been very offended by, and yet Jesus says, your focus is to be on my kingdom. Your focus is to be on my values. Grace keeps us focused on the kingdom of God. It keeps us focused as being disciples of Jesus. Grace stops us from becoming preoccupied with the weeds and pulling up so many weeds that we forget about what it is we've been called to do. And what does it say on the board outside? Helping people follow Jesus. So it means to dispense grace. Grace keeps us focused on the kingdom of God. But I want you to notice, thirdly, if you're looking at this story with me this morning, you've got a Bible open in front of you, grace recognizes that we will face opposition. Look at Jesus' little story. It's a kind of agricultural story that lots of people would have understood. And I guess most of us get it today, don't we? Somebody goes out to sow seeds in the field. So far, so good. And then somebody described as an enemy in this story under the cover of darkness comes and sows weeds among the wheat, verse 25. And that kind of horrendous discovery, as they begin to germinate, suddenly the farmer realizing that he's got a lot more than he bargained for. It's a common story in Jesus' day. Bits of this story we miss because we kind of don't get back into the first century in our thinking, but it was a big threat to farmers in Jesus' day. In fact, it was a big threat because what people would sometimes say is, if you're not careful, I'll sow weeds in your field. It was a kind of threat that a farmer would make against another farmer if they fell out with each other. But look what Jesus says in verse 39. He identifies the enemy here as the devil. Description that fits in with other New Testament descriptions of his mode of operation. It was someone who kind of comes under cover of darkness, someone who comes to deceive, someone who comes to destroy, someone who comes to pull down. And this parable introduces us to the tension that's always existed between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, starting with Jesus himself, who was hated for what he stood for. Jesus was the most gracious person who ever lived. And he was crucified. Extending grace does not mean that people are going to welcome you with open arms any more than they did with Jesus. And we know, don't we, that today there are thousands of Christians in Mosul fleeing their lives because they're being forced to convert to Islam. We know that there are thousands of Christians across the world today suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We know that in the early church there were thousands of Christians who lost their lives because they claimed that Jesus was Lord and not Caesar. And down through the centuries, Christians have had to take their stands. But grace recognizes that we will face opposition. Just because grace is so wonderful doesn't mean it's going to be received with open arms. Grace makes some people feel very uncomfortable. Which means we need to choose our battles wisely as Christians. I like the words of Matthew 10 and verse 16 in the advice of Jesus. He makes it very clear what his people are going to face. He says, stay alert. This is hazardous work which I'm assigning you to. It's not always easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, you're going to be like sheep running through a pack of wolves. That's a pretty severe description, isn't it? So choose your battles wisely. Don't call attention to yourselves. Be wise, cunning as a serpent, but innocent as doves. I wonder if some of you are struggling to live out your faith at the moment. Because your family are being ridiculed. In your workplace, people are making fun of you. I want you to notice in this story that the wheat survives into the harvest. Let me take encouragement from this story this morning. Grace helps us to recognize that we will face opposition. The next thing I want you to notice is that grace leaves the final judgment to God. Just look at the sort of powerful picture language in verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Grace leaves the final judgment to God. This has been a tough series at times, hasn't it? Extending grace to those who've hurt you. Extending grace in the face of disagreement. Extending grace when you don't get anything back in return. Extending grace when you really want to go around and pull out a few weeds or perhaps slap someone across the face because of how you've been treated. And grace says to us in this story, leave the final judgment to God. The description of judgment in these verses balances out the grace and the mercy of God. God is not a God who turns a blind eye to sin. He's not a God who will ignore it. He's a God who has promised to put all things right. He says there is going to be a day of ultimate accountability. Backed up in many places in the New Testament. Perhaps none more clearly than this passage in Acts chapter 17. For he, God, has set a day when he will judge the earth with justice. By the man he is appointed, and he has given proof of this by raising Jesus from the dead. Grace leaves the final judgment to God. And finally, in this passage, I want you to notice in verse 43, and this is certainly big picture stuff, grace just gives us a little glimpse and a little taste of the new creation. Just look at how Jesus rounds off this story. Then the righteous will shine like the sun of the kingdom of their Father. When it comes to dispensing grace, you need to keep your eye on the big picture. You need to keep your eye on the final destination. Jesus is drawing an image from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 where we get a glimpse of the resurrection glory of God's people. We haven't time to unpack it this morning, much as I would like to do. But take a read through 1 Corinthians 15 later today. Go and have a look at Daniel 12 and verse 3. Go and have a look at Revelation chapter 21. The Bible's peppered with these glimpses, these tastes of God's new creation. And here it is in the context of this story, that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Grace gives us a glimpse of the new creation. For me, a very helpful verse all throughout my life has been this one. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, if you're a Christian this morning, God has promised that he will complete what he started in your life. He's promised that one day he will bring you to his new creation. When there'll be no more airliners blown out of the sky. There'll be no more conflicts between Palestinian and Israeli people. There'll be no more Islamic states being created where Christians are being forced to convert under threat of death. There'll be no more broken relationships in families. God has said, one day I'm going to make everything new. Dispensing grace How do we actually do it? Well, let's try and just apply this story to our lives as we wrap up this morning. Let me ask you firstly, where are you in this story? Because all of Jesus' stories always invite us to put ourselves into them. Where are you in the story? There are some pretty stark contrasts in this story, aren't there? Weeds or wheat? A follower of Jesus or someone who's rejected Jesus? Righteous or sinful? Good or bad? Where are you in the story? Wheat or weeds? Many of Jesus' stories drew those kind of contrasts. They make us feel uncomfortable at times because we like to be maybe a bit of a weed and a bit of wheat. Sometimes we like to be a bit of a follower and not a bit of a follower. We like to try and find that middle road, that middle ground, but Jesus doesn't give us that option. He says, either you're for me or you're against me. So maybe for some of us this morning, we're going to make our minds up on this matter. It's by grace you have been saved. This not of yourselves. God extends his grace and his mercy to you freely this morning. Philip Yancey, picking up on the challenge of this parable we've been looking at, writing in the context of the United States, writes this. He says, our country desperately needs Christians in our schools, in our congressional halls, our justice buildings. He says, I believe will be most effective if we can carry a message. A message of grace. So let me ask you this morning, if we were to rewrite that for our circumstances today. I believe that we would be most effective if we can carry a message into those places, the message of grace. What would those places be for you and me this morning? It's so easy to criticize, isn't it? It's so easy to condemn. It's so easy to stand in judgment for those who see things differently from us, and sometimes in some very fundamental ways. We've been called to dispense grace. We carry a message of grace. What difference might that make for you and me this week with the people that you and I rub shoulders with? In your place of work, amongst your family, neighbours, friends. We carry a message of grace. That perfect balance that Jesus displayed. And a woman caught in the act of adultery is brought and dragged before Jesus. And what does Jesus say to her? He says to her, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That's what grace looks like. Dispensing grace. How do we do it? Well, this little parable that we've been looking at this morning helps us in some very practical ways to make sense of life as a follower of Jesus Christ. How do we do it? We do it with great patience. The wheat and the weeds are allowed to grow together into the harvest time. Leave that with God. We do it following the example of Jesus. He took time with individual people. We do it recognizing that opposition will come. We do it leaving the final judgment to God. And we do it by keeping the new creation in sight. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we find the stories of Jesus very uncomfortable and quite disturbing because we like to try and find another option. But as we place ourselves into this story, we know that either we are for Jesus or we are against him. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone in this room this morning who sees where they are in this story and who needs your grace and your mercy, Lord, may this day be a turning point, we pray. As we reach out to the grace and the mercy of God as undeserving, broken people and say, thank you for making the first move. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that in his death he takes the punishment that I deserve. I freely receive your amazing gift of grace. And for those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, as we move into a new week, as we rub shoulders with people around us, as we respond to some of the horrendous situations which are going on in our world today, help us to season our conversations with grace, we pray. We ask that through all of our conversations and all of our actions in this coming week, we may portray God as a lovesick father who comes running to meet a wayward child. That we would portray God as a master who forgives multi-million pound debts. That we may portray God as a banquet giver who goes out into the highways and byways and welcomes everyone into the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to dispense grace in this coming week. By the help of your Holy Spirit, may we be grace-filled people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.